B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Phillies lose last night after gaining some momentum. They come home and the Padres beat them 3-0 last night. Some ill-advised defensive plays in that game. But bigger issues we need to talk about with the man who joins us every Wednesday. And he's brought to us by Everfresh Juices and Juice Drinks. Everfresh is nature's refreshment. The Hall of Fame baseball chronicler. And now working for The Athletic, the great Jason Stark joins us. Hello, Jason.
Mike, how's that golf going, man?
The golf is fine. I haven't swung the club, but I'm watching people come off having fun, you know, drinking beer out there and having a lot of fun. A lot of good people here.
I'm sure. It sounds like a great time and a great cause, and you dress like you're swinging the club.
You know, I got the golf attire on. I can rock the golf attire. Let me tell you something. Nobody beats me. When I get to tee box one, I'm looking good. I can't play a lick, but I'm looking good. And that's, that's a win for me.
That's what matters, Mike.
It does matter to me. All right, so let's talk about the Phillies last night. And first of all, you had a really interesting story, which is bigger than them just losing the game last night, about whether their bats are awakened. It's a really interesting discussion here on because their bats aren't awakened, really, but the statistics say they are. So explain to the people what you mean by this and the hard hit percentage and all that stuff.
Okay. The Phillies didn't just start hitting the ball hard last week when they were scoring 50 runs on the West Coast. If you look at stuff like this, they're first in the National League, highest average exit velocity when they hit the ball. They hit more balls 95 miles an hour or harder than any team in the league. Mm-hmm. They hit a higher percentage of balls on the sweet spot than any team in the league. And, you know, that's a team that should just be putting up crooked numbers left and right. They did that last week. What's interesting is this was also true 2 weeks ago. We talked about it then, but you know what I wrote about in The Athletic today was to demonstrate how even as recently as, say, I think it was the 4th of May after they got swept by the Rangers, they were hitting the ball harder than any team in the league, and the results didn't match those numbers until last week. And so when I went around and talked to a bunch of their hitters, and especially the hitting coach, Kevin Long, last night, it was pretty unanimous from those guys that they think they've been affected by the dead ball or the humidor or some combination, whatever it is, as much as any team in baseball. And I actually think the numbers back that up. It's really interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, so basically, you know, when they're hitting the ball hard, and they're only scoring one run fewer than seven times, that hard-hit ball isn't going anywhere to produce runs. Right?
Yeah,
is that the way it
there's
works?
There's definitely an element of that. This has been happening all around baseball in the cities in the East and the Midwest where it's cold. And it seems like that connects to the fact that they have humidors in those parks now. But Kevin Long told me he's actually been keeping track of all the balls that they hit early in the season that should have been home runs based on how hard they were hit and how high they were hit. He didn't want to give me the exact number. He said between 5 and 10. But what was interesting really was he was very pointed about saying that the baseballs that they were using in L.A. were different. He said they were darker. He said they were harder. He said they definitely traveled farther. You know, and Major League Baseball keeps pushing back on any talk like this. I'm not in the school that says this was some kind of conspiracy to do this and change the balls, but let's think about it this way. Does it make any sense to have a ball that behaves differently on one coast than the other or in one climate than another? That's really strange to me, and somebody needs to figure that out because teams across the sport are complaining about it, and putting humidors in every park obviously is not the answer.
Jason, this is like direct evidence here. He's got balls that you pick up in L.A. that are different. They're darker, they're harder, whatever. What more does Major League Baseball need to say, well, that's not right. There's no consistency there.
Yeah, well, you know, I couldn't publish this piece I wrote for 14 hours, Mike, until I waited for Major League Baseball to tell me what to make of that. And, you know, people I've talked to said there's been no change in the baseballs that have been used at any point this season. They're not different in one park than another park. They're saying there's no credence to that, that the balls are as uniform as they've ever been. What's not the same is the humidor's impact on how far balls travel in cold weather versus what they think is going to happen when the weather warms up, which means it's actually going to help them travel farther. But this whole thing,
weird.
You know, if this were happening in other sports where, you know, you got to shoot a three-pointer in the NBA, and the ball doesn't go in because it doesn't travel quite the same. I think of this
it's
scandal.
It's like Deflategate, for crying out loud.
it's baseball Deflategate.
It is. It's weird. All right, so let's talk about something that's really meaningful. I mean, the news came out today, and it's not better for Bryce Harper. So what's the latest on the platelet plasma injection? And I don't see where he's ever going to be able to play right field this year.
I think there's a real chance of that. I've been saying it for a while. Since we talked last, which was last Wednesday, we now know he has a torn UCL in the elbow. Probably safe to guess he always had one. And if that were true, they probably should have done this PRP injection weeks ago. It's hard to second guess that. I'm not a doctor. I just play on the radio. But to talk about the PRP injection, there's some doubts in sports medicine about whether they really work, but a lot of athletes try them. It comes down to this. There's nothing to lose outside of the fact that Bryce is sore, can't be in the lineup for anywhere from 3 days to a week. We're going on day four now. Whatever. The biggest question is what happens moving forward. And the news today was Joe Girardi saying the doctors now don't want him to throw for at least 6 weeks. That gets us to July. Then he needs time to build it back up. So the best case scenario, if the injection works and he starts to heal, is he's not playing the field before late July or early August. But there are a lot of other scenarios. You know, there's no real definition of a small tear. And a lot depends on what the tear is and where it is.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Listen, I'm not an orthopedic surgeon here, but this certainly smells like Tommy John surgery. And if you send him out, even though you think he's laid off enough and you send him out, you got to throw from right field at a tremendous velocity. And it's not like you're warmed up like a pitcher every day. I just don't think it's feasible.
Yeah, that's exactly. I mean, the Tommy John surgery part, I don't know if that's in the cards. I've asked about this a lot, and it's really rare for a position player who has a quote unquote small tear of the UCL mm-hmm. to require Tommy John surgery. It's possible. It's worst case, but there are other types of surgeries that could address it. But I don't think they want to go that route. The biggest worry is what you just expressed, is for a right fielder, even if he does everything right and heals up, there's so much risk of re-injury. What teams normally do is, all right, they send Bryce out there and they tell him, don't cut loose. We'll bring the second baseman way out there in the outfield. He'll be the cutoff man. Just get it to him. Here's the problem. It's Bryce Harper.
Yeah, his instincts aren't going to allow that. His instincts are going to want to make a 300-foot throw to home plate.
Of course, like imagine the first ball that gets hit in the corner, tying run, steaming around third base. Isn't Bryce going to let it go? And if he does, it's a risk of re-injury, and you're back to square one.
Yeah, I see that. That's a big danger. All right, so with that now, because that messes up the Phillies in so many different ways, having to play guys here and there and then sending them out there where they really can't play that position, and the defense hurt them last night. What are the fair expectations based on what they are right now?
You mean for how far they could go this year?
Yeah, how successful can this team be?
Now, I'm assuming Bryce will be able to at least hit all year. And assuming that's true, I still think they're much more talented than what their record says they are. Despite what happened last night, they still have one of the best lineups in the sport. Even with Schwarber hasn't gotten going, Reese Hoskins really hasn't found it yet. JT has been in a friggin' tailspin with zero power. Almost no production at short, and they're still at the top of the league in a bunch of meaningful categories. So I think there's another level for them to get to offensively. Starting pitching has a chance to be excellent. I think we can see now that three of the five starters weren't ready coming out of spring training. They're past that now. So I've written about this. I've talked about this. The formula for them to win is really similar to what Dave Dombrowski built in Detroit. Great offense, really good rotation, and hope that's enough. And Dave has said to me numerous times, he looks at that team in Detroit, he has no idea how that team never won a World Series. But whether they did or didn't, they were good enough to win a World Series. So I think those elements, given health, are in place that would allow them to win. The challenge is probably having to do it as a wild card because the Mets are better than them, and the Mets are capable of running away with a division. But you get three wild card spots now. They're only three games out of the last playoff spot with 126 to play. They're still capable of being a playoff team. Just digging yourself this kind of hole is never helpful.
Yeah. All right. I know you're a man of all sports, so we have this topic going today about Tyrese Maxey. There's a report out there that Morey is star hunting, and it may have to, if he's going to make a trade to get rid of Tobias Harris's contract, it may have to include Maxey to get another star. How are you feeling about that?
I don't want to trade that guy.
Trade him.
Who's the star? Tell me who the star is.
Here we went over some possibilities. Donovan Mitchell, Jimmy Butler, Anthony Davis, Kawhi Leonard. Bradley Beal.
All right, let's think about this. None of them are 21. That's one issue. And you do have a couple of guys on that list who are winners, and they're tough. Their toughness shows in big moments, in big games, and that matters. This team needs that, but Tyrese Maxey is just such a source of energy. He's had so much upside. I can tell you in our house, he's our favorite player to watch on that team. And I ran into Charlie Manuel at the ballpark last night, and he got on the topic of energy and how great teams in all sports, the number one quality they all have is energy, and how focus and energy play off of each other, and that's what great teams have. So, to trade Maxey, you've got to not just get a star, you've got to get a winner, and you've got to get a young star.
Okay. So if you don't get that, then status quo next year. The status quo win?
God. That's why the GM or the team president gets paid the big bucks, and we're on radio.
Oh, you're going to bail out on me, aren't you? All right. Well, one last thing. We had Donovan McNabb on earlier today. Donovan revealed that his daughter is going to Syracuse University to play basketball.
Donovan played basketball at Syracuse.
Yes,
People
he did.
Forget that. When he got done with football season, he played for the basketball team, and he got into some games in big spots.
Yeah, he did.
He could play a little.
I remember him getting into some games. So with his daughter going to Syracuse University, I would dare suggest that maybe they should shift her to the men's team at this particular point.
No, what's that all about?
I Well, listen, at least you rented a Boeheim's, right? Are all the Boeheim's gone now?
All of them except the coach.
The coach is...
Right, so that, you want a team full of McNabs and Boeheim's.
I don't know.
That's your plan.
I was just trying to bust you. I'm sorry. I had to know.
How's it going? Is that working?
Yeah. Jason, always a pleasure. Thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.